Welcome to the Future Rich podcast. I'm your host, Barbara Ginty, and I'm also a CFP and a certified financial planner. And today we have a follow-up interview with our former guest, Trish. Hi, Trish.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
So it's been just over a year since we sat down and talk about your finances. So what is new? And I must say, I gave so many people your daily budget worksheet.
Really? I was the first thing I thought about, which is funny, was I actually stopped using it. Because it was funny because I felt like it was getting a little, like the way I was tracking it was like making me like a little anxious almost about spending. And I'm sort of like reevaluating my relationship with money. So I kind of just, I gave myself like a break from it for, because I'd been doing it for, I think, like 2 years.
You've been doing it for a long time.
So I was doing it since early 2017. And just like at the end of last year, I was sort of noticing that I was making myself feel a little guilty for what I was spending. So I just took a break, and I've actually, like, it hasn't really affected my spending at all.
I think that's probably a good idea, because you want to have a healthy relationship with money. You don't want to feel guilty for, you know, spending, because you are very conscious about what you spend and how you spend it and making sure you're tackling all the things you want. So I think that's a positive change, because at this point you've already formed really good money habits.
Yeah. So that's what I was like, actually, like, I'm just like beating myself up. Like sometimes when I was like entering in, like, oh, I spent like this much on drinks, like this much when I was out, like, why did I do that? So I was just like, maybe like lay off, see if like you can still be responsible without it, and then come back to it in like a few months and see if there's a different way to do it where I'm still able, like, I would like to just be a little more like goal oriented with my spend, like.
So, yeah, and so for our listeners, if you haven't listened to our first chat, you can listen to it on our website, and it's Trish's episode. I believe it was episode 7, so you were pretty early on, but you tracked literally every dollar that you spent in the spreadsheet.
Yeah, and I was doing it manually, and it was helpful because I think it did create, like, good spent, like, daily spending habits, and it's like, oh, I stopped using it, and I haven't really noticed. If anything, spend a little less because I'm less conscious of it. Almost like
that's interesting. Well, and I just feel like you just, that got you into such a habit of, you are very proactive with when you spend your money. And when we were talking last time, you had a lot of roommates, right?
Or I had one roommate, and I'm still in a situation with one roommate. My rent used to be cheaper though. I went out.
Okay. You moved to a new apartment.
Yeah. So I was about to move, and moving was like a big financial, like, it cost a ton of money. And my rent ended up going up. I was paying $975 for like 3 years, and then like $1,000 for a few months. But now I pay $1,250. So it jumped up like quite a bit, but it hasn't impacted too much, I guess, fully. I just got a raise, I think it was only like a few weeks ago, so I'm making around like $74,000-$75,000 a year right now.
That's a big difference, because you were at $64,000 last year.
Yeah, or maybe I'm closer to, like, I think I maybe got my raise like right after we get them in like April at MLB for some reason.
Oh, so you probably got it right after we had met last year.
Yes, because I think I went up to like 70, and now I'm at like 74.
That's great. That's a $10,000 raise in 12 months.
Yeah, it was really nice. And it's like a nice, it matches up with my like cost of living, and it's good. And I feel like 2018, I wasn't really saving money because moving like cost a lot. Like my rent went up. And I was sort of like going through a battle of like putting money into my savings, taking it out, like putting money in, taking it out for like all of 2018, it sort of felt like. But actually in the last few months, I feel like I'm getting back on track with like putting like part of my paycheck into my savings every pay period. Like my savings is starting to like build up a little bit. Like I think I only have like $400 like on my credit card, like debt right now. I'm trying to think of what else has.
Yeah, so give us an update. And just so the listeners know, remind us how old you are.
27.
27, and you're making now, a year later, $10,000 more than you were in the first episode. You're at around $74,000. Yeah. And so tell us, give me an update on your accounts.
Yeah. So I actually, right before I started, like, called you, I updated my 401k contribution.
Oh, you did? You were like, oh no, I'm talking to her, I better up this.
Yeah, so I upped it to, it was only at 4, which I know is still pretty low, so I upped it to 5, especially with, like, the ring. Yeah.
Perfect. Good job, Trish.
I was like, I know that's going to be the advice. I think I had updated like 1% the last year, which isn't great, but so I have about 20,000 in my 401k right now. I have 15,000 left in student loans, which isn't horrible. It's not as
No, that's great. Wonderful. I'm making progress on that.
Yeah. Slow, but it's happening. And still, like, every time I go home, my mom's like, we have to refinance, and then we don't do it. But I have about 1,800 in my checking account right now. Like 12,600 in my savings and about like 400 on my credit card. So that's like all across my, I think that those are my only accounts.
Perfect. And then with your student loans, are you making principal payments?
I have no idea. I'm not sure. I'm sort of like in the dark about, because my mom handles it. And right. I think I mentioned that last time. And now I like log in a little more, but I'm still not okay. like I know there's two different accounts. And that's
yeah, awesome. there's definitely more than one loan.
Yeah.
So with your raise, just this most recent raise, right? You just got?
Yeah.
Have you noticed a difference in your paycheck?
Yeah. So my paycheck is about like right over like 2,000 right now. Is it like?
And you're putting more in savings now after you got the raise?
Yeah. So I was able to put like 1,000 like immediately into my savings once I got the raise, because I got a bonus as well. That was like 3,600, but I put half of it in my 401k. Yeah, and then it was taxed, obviously. So I put like basically the whole bonus into my savings account.
Perfect. That's fantastic. Yeah, you're right. I was going to tell you to up the 401k.
So I'll keep, because I know that is like the most, like the easiest thing to do. I think now, because I think I mentioned it last year that I was like more interested in like investing, because I have this money sort of sitting in savings, and then I kind of, that like goal sort of like fell to the wayside, because like I think moving ended up costing like $3,000, and I had to like replace a computer like around the same time, and then like just with the rent going up, and I was dating someone who wasn't working at the time, like, so that ended up sort of being like a hit on like my finances.
Oh, because you were like paying for everything?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And that sort of relationship created like a lot of anxiety around money. And once I got out, like we ended it like the end of last year, early this year. And weirdly, since like we stopped dating, like I feel like my like income, like I felt a lot more calm about money.
Yeah, it's a big difference to go out and pay for one person than to go out and pay for two people.
Yeah. And just because he was so anxious about it, that it made me anxious about it. And now that I've like relaxed a little bit, especially with not tracking, like I feel like I just am not, like I look at my accounts, I'm like, oh, actually, like I don't have a reason to be stressed. Like I'm doing okay. Like my bill isn't that bad. Like nothing is like financially draining right now. And it's like, okay, I have like more than enough to like live. Like now, okay, what do I, if I have this money and like I'm making a pretty decent income, I don't have a ton of expenses, like what do I do next?
No, that's a great question. So my follow-up to you is going to be, I know where I would want you to put your money, but what, because I know you want to be more goal oriented this year.
Yeah.
What is one of your next goals? Is it to save up for a vacation or tackle this? Go ahead.
Yeah, no, so I get a little like confused about what I do want to be putting money towards, because I do like travel like at least like a couple of times a year, and I don't like, I have enough in my savings and how much I make that I can like
swing it.
Yeah. And I don't really have to like save as aggressively for it. Like I'm going away in like 2 months to like Italy for like a week, and it's like hasn't, like I've paid for like my flight already, my hotel, like, and I'm like, oh, actually, like it's not that like financially draining.
No, I mean, especially because you live in New York City. So I feel like
yeah,
it's the same cost to go and travel somewhere and eat out and everything.
As just like existing here.
As just existing in New York, yeah.
Yeah. And so, and like, I'm like, do I want to have money in case like I want to change jobs at some point and like it might not be as stable? Do I want to save up to like leave New York? Like, I really don't know. So.
So since you don't know, it never hurts to save money outside of your retirement account. But here's what I would, what's your match? Again, remind me what your match is.
I just looked it up, I think. Okay. Because it's like, let me click into my account again. It, the only thing it said, it was like just matches like 100, like up to 100%, I guess. So I guess it just matches my percent. I thought it was like, how do I put it? Like they contribute like a certain
dollar
amount.
For dollar, and like, is it a dollar for dollar match up to a certain amount of money?
Or like they, I don't know how to like phrase this the right way. Like they contribute like a set amount every year, but I'm not like not sure.
Okay. So here's, I think that you could probably up it. I'm going to challenge you to try and up it 1% more if you have extra money in your budget.
Yeah.
A good target to get to for retirement savings is 10%.
Mm-hmm.
That's like a good benchmark in what they say in the industry. So if, try and have that as a target in your head. And then from there, I would put other, you can put other monies away. And even though you don't know what it's going to be for, whether it's to move, to leave the city, or because you want to switch jobs and maybe there's going to be a little bit of time in between, or you might take a lower salary to do a career change, or if it's for a house or whatever, it doesn't matter what it'll be for. You can start saving for it now, even though you don't know.
Yeah.
And then you're very good with the budgeting. So I would try and up the 401k 1% more, because then that gets you closer to your own contribution of the 10%. With your company match, you're probably over it. So you're in a good spot there.
Yeah.
And then I would figure out how much you have in your budget, if it's like $150 or $200 a month, and put that in a separate account for a long-term goal. Like that's TBD.
Yeah. So that, because that's what I'm doing, because I have like $12,000 in just like a savings account that mm-hmm. I had to touch when I moved, and I was sort of like going back and forth of putting money in it and putting money, like taking money out. But okay, it's just right. Like $12,000 just like sitting there that I don't really have like a huge need for. So I would like to figure out some like long-term, like lower stakes investing situation where I could put like half of it and just like let it chill.
Let it grow.
Yeah.
And the other thing I'm thinking, but this is also a retirement goal, is a Roth IRA.
Yeah, because I don't know anything about Roth IRA. Like,
so a Roth IRA you can do because you're underneath the income limit for filing your taxes single. Mm-hmm. And a Roth IRA is my favorite vehicle because you put the money in after tax, and then it grows tax deferred, meaning you don't pay tax on it while it's there. And then it comes out tax free after 5 years and you're over 59 and a half.
Okay.
But it sounds like you want to do more of a long-term goal where you have access to the money.
Yeah.
Okay. I do like the Roth. So jot that down. And if you ever, that could be another goal. I don't want to give you too many though.
Yeah. No, it's okay.
You're very diligent at the budgeting and like checking off everything. So I don't feel like I'll overwhelm you.
Yeah.
So Roth IRA, and then Roth IRA is just the vehicle. So inside of it, you can have investments, and you should have investments given that you're 27 and you won't touch the money until you're 59 and a half. You don't want it in cash, right? You want to pick investments.
Mm-hmm.
But you could also do with your savings. I would leave probably at least $1,200, if not a little bit more, right? So that you have a good emergency fund, since your rent is $1,200. You probably want to get up to around $3,000 of just money sitting there just to cover your bare expenses for 3 months, right?
Yeah.
And then after you get back up to that, which I have no doubt you'll do quickly, then you could take that money over that number and you could invest it.
Yeah, because that's what I was like, I'd like to have like a set amount in there always, but it's like, I don't need to have $12,000 just like.
No, you don't need to have $12,000. Not with how well you do with the budget.
Yeah, I'm just like.
You're like my all-star budgeter.
I'm so glad that that's like helping people, because it is a pretty thorough and easy to use doc, and I've given it to like a couple of my friends, but not a lot of people. And it's just, interesting how, like, I've noticed, like, how all of us sort of talk about money and this, like, oh, I shouldn't be spending, but I am. And, like, but I'm, like, I have no idea if, like, any of my friends have a savings account. Like, how much credit, like, I don't know how much, like, debt is, like, a lot of debt or, like, whatever. And it's just, like, all very, like, blurry. And I know I'm doing okay.
It is really blurry. And it's been really interesting to do the podcast. I feel like I'm getting so much data. I should create a benchmark.
Yeah.
So that you could be like, okay, this is where I rank. Because I think everybody wants to know. I think you're doing really, you're doing a very good job. You're just very diligent with how you spend your money and how well you save.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I have people like you, and then I have other people that take on so much debt, and like, yeah, I can't get them to be diligent about their money. They're like, I feel like I need you to meet them. So like, how do you do it? How are you so disciplined with your spending?
I think like just growing up, like my parents sort of like I just saw them, there was a lot of anxiety around money, like when I was growing up. And like, even though we had like a house and a home, like I could go to school and like exist like totally fine and was provided for, like there was just like this idea that my parents were making these like unstable financial decisions and it would cause them to like fight a lot. And so I was just like scared of money for a lot, like what would happen if like you didn't have it. And
right.
And I knew like that my parents were like very clear that they weren't going to support me like once they I graduated college. So I just never thought about it that much, and it just sort of ended up like working out. I definitely made decisions based on like the fact that I needed to make money, even though it didn't like necessarily align with my interests. I got into ad trafficking because I needed like a job that was going to provide and like gave me healthcare, like etc.
So you choose financial stability because it provides you that peace of mind, even though it's not always what you want.
Yeah, so it's always just been this sort of like subconscious like guiding force, I guess. And I just am not like, I have never spent like beyond my means, I guess. Yeah, and I just was always, and I didn't have a credit card for like a really long time. So, and like, I was sort of like had this idea like, oh, if I have a credit card, like I'm gonna go crazy and do that. And like, oh, like I'm not, it's like I became like really responsible by like thinking I was really irresponsible. which is like the best thinking, like wouldn't necessarily recommend it. Like I wish I had like a little gentler like approach to like money, or just more conscious, but I'm like happy how it turned out. But it just like, I wish, that's why I stopped like doing the budgeting, because I'm trying to figure out like money's not something to be scared of, and like you're fine, like, but how do you want to use it to like your advantage?
It's all about having a strategy.
Like, because I didn't, like I ended up in the position I'm in by like not having a strategy, which was okay, but it like mental, like I just was like, yeah, I knew I wanted to be financially stable, because it was like, look what can happen if you're not financially stable. And like, I never wanted to be in a place where I couldn't pay off, like where I'd be spending, like my credit card balance was like bigger than my savings account or something. Like I read that like Girl Boss book like 4 years ago, which was like not very good, but the like one bit of advice that I took from it was like, not spend, like if you have a credit card, like don't spend more than you have. And I just think about that a lot. And I didn't have a credit card till I was like 25, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I think for you, I think it is a good idea to take a break from the daily budgeting to give yourself a little more room, right? And less anxiety around it. So you're not, you know, going out to eat or going to Duane Reade and then putting everything in a spreadsheet. And just keep that in mind that you don't ever want to spend, that's a good rule of thumb. Like you don't want to spend more than you make. And then for you, what I would do is now with your new salary, then figure out at the beginning, right? So you know this is what's going to come in the month. How is the money going to be divvied up? And then automate the saving so that it just comes out of the
account. Yeah, and that, because that's what I've been thinking is like, I don't do that where I don't have like a budgeting strategy. And I think it's because I've always like been a single person. Like my income's not really mixed with like anyone else's. Like I don't have anyone else to take care of. That definitely made a difference, but I'm always like working backwards of like, I'm not seeing like money come in and then like budgeting it out. I'm just sort of like looking at it back, like, but now I have all this like data of like my spending patterns for the last like 2 years. They're not like that different like month to month. So
I agree with you. What I would do is go forward thinking. So know that you're going to bring in around 4,000 a month, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So then I would immediately put after you have your, we know you have your rent, right? And then I would target maybe depending on where your budget is, maybe $1,000 to savings until you get that up to probably need about 1600 or 1700, maybe two, let's say 2000 a month to live on, right?
Yeah.
So get that up to 6,000. And then that's your, now that's your emergency fund. It's there for anything that comes up. And then anything over 6,000, you could either do, you could split the difference. You could do, instead of $1,000, you could do 500 towards a Roth IRA if you wanted to add more to retirement, or, and then the other 500 and just an investment account for a long-term goal that we can name TBD.
Yeah. I guess I'm just like so confused on how to invest. Like, I don't understand it for some reason. It feels so complicated and almost like there's all of these like apps and like startups, and I do like focus groups sometimes as like a random, because I do have like a couple of side income-y things too, like I sell
right on Posh, right?
Yeah.
Posh. Okay.
And like I don't really take a lot of money from that because usually I just end up spending it like back in like buying clothes. Recently, like my aunt like is like going through, and like she worked at Saks for like years and years, so she has like a ton and ton and ton of like designer clothes, and asked me to help her sell it on Poshmark. And it's like happening slowly, but it's like she was like, you can keep 40%, so it's like a
wow,
easy money making opportunity for me. So I'm like, okay, cool, you are getting this opportunity where you have, can make like the easiest money. Like, what do you want to be doing with it? Like, you don't want to.
Well, and the other thing, and I just want to feel you out here. If you, after you get the emergency fund savings, you could really get your student loans paid off in a year, maybe a little over a year by putting $1,000 at it.
Yeah, I think I need to like start, I want to start like maybe aggressively paying, like.
Because what you could do is you could get your emergency fund up first, get your student loan paid off second, right? And then, yeah, then by the time you're 28, you have an emergency fund, you have a really solid 401k, and you have no debt.
Yeah, because that's what I keep forget, like, because this
student loan, your mom has it, right?
Yeah, and she's been sort of controlling it, but I am in, like, a financial place where, like, I don't really, like, because I just don't think about, like, it doesn't weigh on me a lot, so I kind of forget about it, but it is still there, and it would be really cool to be, like, my brother paid his off already. We're both very, like, he's even more financially responsible than I am.
Yeah, I would actually do that. Why don't we do that? Because with the money that you're getting in, I think you could probably get your loans done in a year, and I think that would feel really good. And then you would, because you can put an extra $1,000 a month on that, and that $1,000 needs to be a principal-only payment. Otherwise, it's treated as an early payment, which won't help you at all.
Okay, so I'll remember that. I'm seeing my mom later today, actually, so I'll... It's
yeah,
timing for me to bring that up.
Yeah, yeah. So I, after you get your emergency fund up, I would tackle that, because you can use the extra money from Poshmark and your focus groups as well towards that, and then you can be done. So then by the time you're 28, you have no student loan debt, and then you can really, then you could probably put more than 1,000 towards whatever our TBD long-term goal is.
Yeah, because I keep, it's like, because the student loan isn't, like, I don't think about it a lot. I always forget that, but it's like, what would it feel like to have no debt?
Yeah, it would feel great.
Like,
yeah, and you do it by the time you're 28, which is amazing.
Yeah, I know. My brother paid his off when he was like 23, 24, and I was just like,
I would do that. And then what I would tell your mom, if she's running it for you, is not everyone likes to use checks. Like, nobody uses them anymore. But if you make, I would write a letter stating it's a principal only payment.
Yeah.
The companies very often will not apply it that way unless it's done specifically. And you just need to have proof. Like, so in case it's not applied accurately, you need to have proof that you specified that.
Okay.
So you want to be able to defend it, because if they don't do it, you're going to have to call up and say, here's the letter and here's the check memo. I mean, you can do it. If you can do it online and you can have proof, I'm fine with that. But you just need to be able to defend it, because I've seen them very often not apply it the right way.
Yeah.
And if they don't apply it the right way, it doesn't eliminate it as quickly.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'll keep, I might forget that immediately. Luckily, this is like coming out so I can listen to it again and I won't forget. But that's a really good idea, because I would like to, even though I forget about it, like, it would be nice to just not even have to, because I do sometimes think of like, okay, yeah, you have, like, you have this money, but like, you're sort of like zero right now because you have basically
the debt. Yeah, and because you can do $1,000 a month at it, and then that would take probably 15 months, obviously, but you get the extra money from Poshmark, so I do think you can get it done in a year.
Yeah, that would be crazy.
Yeah, which would be, I think that's what I would do. And then, you know, if there's a month that you can't make the extra payment, then don't make the extra payment. But that would be my target. Try and get that paid off by 28. And then from there, we can save. And then you could save more money because you have your regular student loan payment plus the extra $1,000 you were putting on it.
Yeah, because I do put like, I think like $200 towards it like every month. So if that ends up being gone in the future, like that would just.
Then you have $1,200 back in your budget.
Yeah.
So that's what I would do.
Okay. I think I could do that. And then like, cause I get very like, oh, like I need to like be safe. Like I need to like invest and like I need to, but I don't even have like.
Your 401k is invested.
Yeah.
So that's an investment account.
Yeah. I just forgot about that. because it's, and it's like having these weird pressures, but it's like, they're like fake pressure. Like of like.
Yeah. They're self-imposed.
Yeah. And that's probably like where I got, like, I'm just really hard on myself and it worked out well because like I turned out okay. And I feel like a lot, like pretty financially stable for my age, I guess, like, especially for like generalizations about like millennials or whatever, especially like in New York. But, and also like, I'd like to like reevaluate like how I got here and like, how could I be helpful towards like, I was talking to my friends last night and they were sort of like mentioned that, like, they're like, how did you like do this, like end up financially like more stable? And I was like, I don't know, maybe I should like help you guys, like help other people, because I figured out a way to do it as like a 28 year, you know, like making it happen in New York.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you've done a great job, and you're correct that not everybody is in as good of a position. And I think for you it's the ability to really be disciplined with your budget. So I definitely think in like a, I think tackling your student loans would make the most sense because I think that would feel really good to have that done. And then you'd have $1,200 in your budget that you could put towards an investment account. You'd have a really good emergency fund. And then I'll probably keep challenging you to keep raising your 401k.
I know. I'll do it. It's just like, I know it's hard because it's like, there's no like immediate gratification.
Yeah. It's all about the future. That means that you just, well, you'll be future rich. That's what I want to get you to.
I know. And it's like, I like look at it now and I do see, because when I see the number go up, I check it every like 5 months or whatever. And I'm like, cool. Like I will have, that's like nice that I'll have that money like one day. Like I won't have to be as stressed for the future, especially when I'm in a place where like the future is like very confusing. Like I know I don't really want to be doing, I think I probably mentioned even last year.
Yep.
I was hoping to like move out of my position and it didn't happen this year, but, I'm hoping in the next like couple years, I would like to like totally like career pivot because I don't really care about ad tech.
Yeah, what you're doing.
Yeah.
I think it would be, so that's why I think getting the loans done would be great because then you have a lot more flexibility because you have no debt and you have good savings. Yeah. And that's an ideal time to make a career pivot because it won't be as financially stressful because you'll be in a really solid financial position.
Yeah. And I won't have to like worry about, like, I obviously will always have to, like, pay rent and life expenses, but I won't have the added, like, because if I won't pay, like, I can't pay my loans, like, then, like, I'll be screwed. Like,
yeah, so then you'd never have to worry about that again. You'll have, so you'll just be having to worry about rent and utilities and food.
Okay, that's a good, I like this idea of, like, instead of me being, like, unnecessarily stressed about how I'm not, like, using my savings correctly and investing, like, work on, like, this tangible goal first while like the future ones are still forming.
Exactly. Yeah. So we know that we want to get rid of the student loan debt because that'll give you more freedom in the future for career choice.
Yeah.
And it's a short-term goal, right? I think we can really, I really do think you can get it done in 12 months, especially with your side hustle. And then from there you can set up an investment account for whatever the goal is. But I mean, then if you're putting $1,200 away, I mean, that's going to be, if it, let's say the market goes up that year, you could have a really comfortable account over $10,000 in it.
Yeah, which would be great. And then, yeah, because I would like to have some sort of investment account where the money is like a little easier to like bring in and out, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. But always remember, investment accounts, you should not put money in the market unless you have a long-term horizon. So at least want to be willing to leave it in there, I would say, 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the way life works is when you need it is when the market will be down.
Yeah.
So if it's like to buy a house or for a wedding or for a car, I would never recommend putting it in the market, because that's if we know that you, let's say you're going to buy a car in 12 months and you wouldn't want to put it in the market because in 12 months, we don't know what the value will be. And if the account goes down, then you're not going to be able to get the car that you wanted or have the full amount or a house or wedding or whatever the goal is.
Yeah, because it's fun. Well, it's like, and it's like all of those goals are like not even anything I think about yet. So it's like a little confusing, I think, for someone who's like single and like not planning on like making any of those moves yet about like what I should be saving for. Because I'm like, I don't know, because if there's
nothing up there yet.
There's no, like, that's a goal. Like,
that's okay. So that's why I would focus on increasing your retirement savings, emergency fund, and getting the student loans paid off.
Yeah.
Because those are tangible. We know that you're going to retire at some point, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We know that you need an emergency fund, and we know that you don't want to keep the student loans.
Yeah. And like while I'm in a job that I'm like getting paid like a pretty good salary and
exactly
like not having a ton of expenses, like this is probably when I should be.
This is definitely when you should be tackling it, because you have the free cash flow.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Totally. That's a really good idea. I'm glad I liked it, like reframed. It's like what I was thinking about, but bringing it like down to earth a little bit.
Okay, good. So maybe we'll check in a year.
Yeah.
Okay.
I said hopefully student loans will be gone by then, and I'll like have an idea of like my next step.
Okay, you'll think about some future goals. I mean, I think the next logical one would be to save money. And even if you end up not using it to buy an apartment or a house, but like it is always good to save money and have money available to you. Yeah. You know, like you're not spending it, it definitely would make sense to save it up and have it readily available until you know what the goal is.
Yeah.
No one's ever been like, oh, I wish I didn't save that $25,000. Like, I don't know what I'm going to do with it.
Yeah. There's no harm.
Yeah, there's no harm in doing that. So Trish, thanks for coming on. I hope we talk to you next year and you have no student loans.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. And for our listeners, if you would be so kind as to rate us or like us on, you can follow us on Instagram, iTunes, and Spotify. And if you want to learn more about your personal finance, you can check out our classes, which are in collaboration with SUNY Ulster at www.planancial.com.